Whenever you hear a pastor deny the virgin birth, the resurrection, the substitutionary atonement, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for the sins of the world, the inerrancy of God's word, thy word, Jesus said, is truth. They work for the devil. Do you understand?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello and welcome to the broadcast. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Deceiving Spirits, as a study from the New Testament epistle of 1 Timothy continues. Now, here's Pastor.
My counseling now is not really marriage counseling anymore. It's a mom and a dad because of the teens and what they're going through in our society, because of the things that are online and all the hell that's breaking loose within our teen in their minds, what they're being taught. The way they're thinking, the way they're being groomed. Oh, listen, our children, our teenage boys and girls, they are in the midst of the worst crisis that I have ever seen in my lifetime, and they're having a gender crisis. Do you understand? They're having an identity crisis of who they are. Where did this come from? Did it come from heaven? No, that's not a doctrine from God. That's a deceiving spirit. That's a doctrine from hell, amen, from the devil. Listen to these statistics. Approximately 50% of teens that were born female but identify as male have attempted suicide at least one time. 30% of teens born male but identify as female have attempted suicide at least once. 28% of teens questioning their gender identity have attempted suicide at least once. Here's what's happening. The devil, our flesh, the world that we live in, here's what they want to do. They want to defile your thinking. They want to deaden your thinking. They want to deaden your conscience. Oh, loved one, listen. No matter how kind and tender and loving false teachers may appear to be, and no matter how kind and tender online gender influences may appear to be, let me tell you what they're doing. They are enablers. Do you understand? They affirm what our teens are going through. They affirm these online influencers. And here's what they do. Listen, they help steal a boy's or a girl's identity. And I don't know how you feel about that, but that's the crisis we're in right now, and it kills me. It makes me weep, and the church should be weeping because you think, well, that's outside. No, no, it's in the church. Do you understand? And every pastor will tell you that, and it is heartbreaking what our kids are going through. Something has to be done. They're deceiving spirits. Those are doctrines of demons. That doesn't come from a holy God. No, never. Now listen, and look what they do here. Look at verse 3. It's interesting, these false teachers. They're forbidding to marry. Oh, listen, do you know that demonic doctrine is still with us today? Yeah, listen, the devil's doctrines, they are so subtle and so smooth. Listen, why did they do what? Why did they forbid to marry? Why didn't they attack the deity of Christ? Or something like, you know, why didn't they attack the inerrancy of God's word or something? Oh, no. They said, we're going to go after marriage. That's their first lie then, and even the lie today. Listen, Satan does something. He always lays his lie alongside of the truth of God's word. Now listen, Satan always has in his lie a little bit of truth. Do you understand? Okay, he says forbidding to marry. Okay, well, all right, well, according to the Bible, Paul talks about, you know, that some are called to be single, amen? Okay, you're right. You know, I'm called to be single or whatnot. But here's the problem. They're saying that marriage is forbidden. Forbidden. Why? You're going to have a whole new identity now. You're going to get closer to God than you've ever been in your life. But you can't marry. Oh, no, you can't do that at all. Listen to me, loved one. Beware of any teaching, religious or otherwise, that tampers with the institution of God's marriage. Amen? Oh, be so careful. Beware of any teaching that says, you know what? if you in marriage, okay, you're married now, but now that you're with this group and you're identifying with us now, you know, here's what you have to do since you're married. We can't forbid you to be married because you're married, but you have to practice sexual abstinence. I'll say that word. There you go. That's what you need to practice. You know what I'm saying? And he says, now when you do that, it's going to take you to a higher level in your life. You're going to be closer to God than you've ever been. Loved one, that was the early beginnings and stages of what we call Gnosticism, which forbid marriage. But not only that, it's still with us today. Let me tell you what the Gnostics teach then and today. You ready? It says some Gnostics teach that Adam was created without gender. Isn't that amazing? You get the Bible there. Without gender. They teach the ideal state that one should aspire to is androgynous. In other words, neither male nor female, masculine or feminine. In other words, they want to, your sexual identity is suppressed or it's even eliminated. The Gnostic Gospel of Thomas says this, when you make the male and the female into one, so that the male is not made and the female is not a female, then you shall enter the kingdom of God. What a grand job the doctrines of demon have done with marriage in our day. Did you know that even marriage today has a whole brand new identity? Come on. The oldest institution in the world that God created has a whole brand new identity today in our society. Marriage is not only seen as optional, it's not only seen as disposable, but we already know it has been redefined in our own lifetime. Man, I say, oh Lord, why is that? Because Satan wants to destroy everything that God has for the marriage couple. In other words, everything that identifies with what God's marriage should be like, he wants to destroy. He wants to give you a brand new identity, if you will. Why? Because Satan knows that marriage, God's way, is the closest bond in the entire universe between one man and one woman, freely to totally committed to each other's as companion for life. It's the miracle of the marriage covenant where God takes male, female, two different emotions, makeups, and he makes them, the Bible says, one flesh. Oh, Satan hates that. He hates it. He despises it. He doesn't want joy in the family. He doesn't want love in the family. No, listen, he wants to destroy the identity of God-given roles, the husband and the wife. He wants to steal any form of commitment because he hates commitment. He wants a man or a woman to be alone forever. And that's not God's will. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone, and I'll make him a helper comparable to him. But here's what's happening now, right this minute, in our very midst. Satan, the doctrine of demons and deceiving spirits, he wants to destroy what a man is or destroy what a woman is. I've never in my life, I never would have dreamed when I went into the ministry that I'd be speaking and talking about such things today. I never in a million years. You know, listen to me. He wants, are you listening in the barn? I want every kid take the ear pods out or whatever you're doing and turn off that sound. Listen to Bill. The devil, these deceiving spirits, he wants every teenage girl and boy, he wants you to say, you know what, you need to create your own identity. Even if it means erasing the identity that was given to you at birth. Listen to me. I didn't know this. I told the early service, I've never listened to a podcast in my life. Here I am 45 years old, and you'd think I know what a podcast was, but I didn't know, and somebody introduced me to the podcast, and I started going, this is pretty cool. And I started listening to things I had no idea, because I don't ever listen to them. You know what I mean? And I started listening to this, and listen to me. Let me, it said, here it is. Do you know that a teenage girl can walk into Planned Parenthood facility right now, today, and begin the process without counseling, without parental consent, to have a brand new identity? Did you know that in Oregon, a 15-year-old teenage girl can walk in and say to them, you know what, I want birth control pills, but I also want hormone replacement therapy. Are you listening to me? I mean, right this minute, that's happening right now without parental consent. They can receive right now, walk in and receive hormone blockers without parental consent, without any counseling. It's called gender-affirming hormone therapy. They can even walk into a Planned Parenthood right now without any counseling, without any parental consent, and say, you know what, I don't like my gender. I want to be somebody else, and I feel trapped in my body, all this anxiety, and say, I want top surgery. You know what that means. Now, not all doctors will do that, but there are a lot that will. Do you know what happens? The anxiety that our kids are going through. And they think, if I can just do this, maybe it'll help me. And then they get on there, listen online with all the groups, and they start talking, and they're supporting one another and going for it. And so one little girl, teenage girl, goes, oh, listen, I started my hormone therapy, and I took that test. What's it called? Test. I'm tired. Testosterone. I could use some right now. I probably could. And they give that to a little 15-year-old girl that she never had it in her body before. And all of a sudden, she goes, whoa, my anxiety. I don't have it anymore. I feel confident. Sure you will. That's what it does, that first little surge. Are you listening to me? And they think, I'm on the right path. Oh, yeah, this gender therapy, this is what I need. It's a lie. It's a doctrine of demons. It's a deceiving spirit. Do you understand? I'm not saying that people don't feel that way. I mean, I feel a lot of things in my life. That doesn't mean I'm going to go do it. Oh, my heart breaks for them. I hear it. I hear so many times the young people, I hate my body. You better say, the devil hates your body. And you know why I hate your body, teenagers? You listen to me. I'll tell you, because you are fearfully, wonderfully made. Do you understand? You're made in the image of God. And He wants to erase your identity. He wants to remove your identity in the hell that you'll go through. The thoughts that come into you. Stay offline. Stay out of those influence rooms or whatever you call them. You know what I mean? It's terrible. We're living in times, the latter times, when the blind is leading the blind, and we're witnessing right now a revolution against what is real. That's why we need to be in revolution. That's why we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's why we need to stand and get on our knees and pray for our teens today. They're suffering. They're hurting. They're cutting themselves. They're committing suicide. They don't know what to believe in anymore. Which brings us to the second lie of these false teachers. Verse 3, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and by those who know the truth. That's asceticism. In other words, that's where it says starve yourself to death. The ascetics, you know, whatever they did. They believed that, you know, that if you're going to get closer to God, well, you have to kind of punish your body and so forth. Then you'll really get close to the Lord. Well, if you believe that you need to abstain from foods, don't go out and eat today, okay? No, listen. You have to beware of dietary discipline. Then and even today, it's crazy. All the diets, all the fads, all the things that are going on. Listen, there's nothing wrong for dieting to be healthy. In other words, watching what you eat, amen? Well, that's important. You know, especially when you think of the children today and with all the diabetes, it's because of what they're eating. Can I say that? Yes. Not only that, you know, many of us, we have food allergies and so forth. You know, I have a food allergy, I understand. You know, and there's certain things I can't eat. There's a lot of you that, you know, you can't have milk. You can't have chocolate milkshakes. Can't have cheese, banana pudding, chocolate pie with Cool Whip on the top. I understand that. You know, I suffer with you, but you know what? You can have a new identity today. You can have, I don't know the diets. I don't know what they're called. I'm on the Mediterranean diet. I'm on the Lone Star Texas diet. You know, I'm on this, I'm on that. Or I'm a vegan. You know, well, hallelujah. You know, if you want to be a vegan, I'll tell you exactly how to do that. If you never want to eat steak again, T-bone steak, ribeye, sirloin, barbecue ribs, more barbecue ribs. You never want to eat that again. If you never want to eat chicken again, crispy chicken. If you never want to eat fish again, here's all you have to do. You ready? I want you to watch this movie, Eating Our Way to Extinction. Becky and I watched it the other night, and I watched all that, and I saw the fish and all the stuff. I mean, it was, I said, I don't think everyone eat anything again, but maybe a cauliflower and carrots. I don't know. And so I said, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? She said, fish. And I said, oh, my God. Abstain from foods. Does eating, if you have a pork chop or not a pork chop, does that bring you closer to God? If you eat fish on Friday, does that mean, oh, God loves you more? No, you are fully and totally accepted in God because of Jesus Christ. Amen? God doesn't care if you eat bacon, but that's your problem. I mean, okay, you know? But here's the thing. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 8:8, but food does not commend us to God. Food doesn't draw us near to God. Doesn't make us more holy or more acceptable to God. Whether we eat or we're not the better, or whether we don't eat, we're not the better. No, listen, where does that food thing that's dietary, where does it come from? It's not from God. It comes from the doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. William Barclay said this about all this, you know, struggling and not doing this, trying to please God. He said, this was an ever-recurring heresy in the church. In every generation, men arose who tried to be stricter than God. Isn't that a true word? Now look at it, forbidding to marry, commanded to abstain from foods which God created to be received. How do you do it? With thanksgiving, by those who believe and know the truth. Listen, God created marriage and it's good. God created food and it's good, amen? But the problem is, it's difficult to find any food when you go to the supermarket. It's the truth. I mean, what do you mean, Bill? I mean, well, you go in there, I can't find a lot of things God created. I mean, you know, I mean, Velveeta cheese, I tell you, God didn't make that. You won't. I run from Velveeta cheese or Rotel. What is Rotel? It's Rotel is from Spam. What is Spam? It's God didn't create those things. So if you're going to go, you better be careful because it's just what God created, not what General Mills created. Amen. It says for every creature of God is good. And that's contrary to what the false teachers just said. And nothing, meaning nothing that God created, is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, meaning, God, thank you, you provided it. For it's sanctified, it's set apart, how? By the Word of God. If you study the Word of God, dietary regulations, they're gone, except if something that's with the blood, amen? Now, and prayer. Do you pray over your food? Listen, you know, if I get to eat a hamburger today, I'm going to pray over, I say, God, protect me from this. Protect me. You think I'm kidding? I do that every time I pray over food. Protect me from this stuff. No. You pray over your food. Listen to me. Celibacy in marriage and abstaining from food, certain foods, doesn't come from the Bible. If the only to abstain yourself from any sexual relations in marriage is only for prayer and fasting, amen? Yeah, so that we know where these doctrines come from. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I want to close. I want everybody listening to me, everyone online, every youth in the barn, I want you to listen to me now. We're living in tragic times, and never has my heart so ached for the teens that are hurting and the young people, the youth, the 25 and 30, right, all that, the confusion and the deception that is going on. The world, the devil, deceiving spirits, they want to steal your identity. Matter of fact, let me tell you something else. They want to remove your identity from this planet. They hate you. The devil doesn't love anyone. He can't love anyone. He is a liar. There's no love in him. He cannot speak the truth, it says in John 8:44. May I just give you a few scriptures here? And I'm going to give it out of another translation besides the New King James. It says in 1 John 4:17, our standing in the world is identical with Christ. If you're a Christian, think of that, identical with Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6:35, he says, live out this God-created identity. Live it out. This God-created identity. You're made in the image of God. You're born again. You're a new creation. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, he says, grow up, you're kingdom subjects. That's what we've been talking about. He says, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Jesus said in Matthew 24:5, he says, watch out for the doomsday deceivers. Many leaders, he said, are going to show up with forged identities, claiming that I am the Christ, the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people today, more so than ever before. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons are rampant in our society, and especially online, and especially among kids and teens who are searching, trying to figure out who they are through all the hormones of them growing up. Are you with me? And there's so many enablers that are out there online right now, affirming them, cheering them on. Let me tell you something. As our heads are bowed, everybody praying, and all the youth, you guys that are back there in the barn, you bow your head right now. Pastor Raul and Pastor Kendall, they're with you right this minute, but I want you to listen to me now. Are you struggling today? I'm saying I'm bold right now, and this is every head must be bowed and every Christian praying. Are you struggling with your gender? I don't care how old you are you struggling with it? Are you being attacked in your mind by these deceiving spirits? Are you cutting yourself? Are you doing those things? Are you thinking daily about suicide? If you are, listen to me. No one looking around, and you'll not have to come to this altar, but if that's happening in your heart, if that's happening in your life, don't come here, but just raise your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. Just pray for me, Bill. I just, like in the early service, so many people said, just pray. Pray for me. Just lift your hand up in the barn. You do that right this minute. If you're struggling with that, lift it up and just say, Bill, Pastor Roland, and then they'll pray for you, but just lift it up and put it right back down. Father, there's no one like you. No one. You saw their hearts, their hands, Lord, those online, those in the barn, those here, whatever you saw. We pray, I pray, that right now you would smother them with your love, your grace. Help every father, help every mother that's going through struggles with their teens. Oh God, help them. They're hurting. They're hurting. And the teens are hurting. The young people are hurting. Lord, don't let their identity in Christ be stolen. And as our heads are still bowed and no one looking around, maybe you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Lord. Let me tell you something. You need a new identity. You need to become a new creation in Christ. You need to be born again. And you can do that right now. You can say, you can ask Christ to be your Lord. Just lift your hand if that's you and put it right back down. Say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. I want Christ. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I've never asked if, lift it high if that's you, because I can't see very well. I need to see it. Just put it high and put it back down. My last call, I'll not ask again. Anyone here? But Father, then I pray everyone here is born again. And I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word. I thank you that you set the captive free. I thank you that we'll not fall prey to deceiving spirits or doctrines of demons, oh God. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are co-heirs with Christ. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies right this minute. Oh God, thank you that our identity is with you, and you, your identity can never be altered. It can never be changed. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good.
Pastor Bill will continue this study from 1 Timothy on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we do hope you'll join us once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening along with us today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.